You are listening to a sermon by Kevin Barkowski, recorded on Sunday, November 16, 2025, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speakers are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Well, thank you for having me here. Appreciate being here. Appreciate Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship. You kept the name. You know, I'm Intermennonite. Did you know I was born GC? And then my parents changed to MB. And then I got trained MB, actually, and was in a church for 14 years, MB. But then I switched back to GC. Well, GC, Mennonite Church, BC. So I'm personally going to adopt that name. I'm going to be Intermennonite too. So yeah. So thank you for having me here. I am Kevin. I think there's some slides, but if we don't have them, that's okay. I'm halftime at Sherbrooke Mennonite Church, and I'm also halftime at Mennonite Church BC. And are there some type of slides there? That's okay. Doesn't matter. Jesus' words that he said to his disciples, the last thing he said to them was, go, make disciples, baptize, and teach. Those were the last. So I have some MCBC donor cards to give out to everyone after. Oh, here I am. So there I am. That's Deborah and me, and we are in Korea for that slide. Oh. We were there in September, celebrating our 30th anniversary, right? And, okay, well, so there's some donor cards for everyone today. You don't even have to be a donor to MCBC to get those cards. If you look on the donor card, there was a slide that said, that showed us this Amen, A-A-M-E-N, which is Asian, Anabaptist, Mennonite. Oh, can you turn to the next slide? Oh, there it is. Okay, good. Asian, Anabaptist, Mennonite Education Network. So this is like only 2 weeks ago, and you can see Gary Jansen there. You can see Nian Pham, who's a pastor of, used to be pastor of the Vietnamese church. Now he's retired. The churches of Mennonite churches in Asia got together and said, we want to do this ourselves. We don't want any North Americans telling us what to do. We're going to organize an Anabaptist school for ourselves. We're going to have it in Thailand because that's the easiest for people to get visas. It could have been Jeju Island. I would have preferred Jeju Island, but they said Thailand. And especially for the Chinese pastors. And we're going to get master's level Mennonite teaching. And that way these pastors can be equipped, the churches can be equipped. Next slide. And so what they did there, your giving to MCBC, Mennonite Church Canada, International Witness, provided this, right? We can't do this alone. So 50 international leaders, oh, go back, from Asia, they're met. Yeah. And all these, this is a nice picture. It was only, I think, 2 weeks ago. You can see Bo Ki in the back. You can see the different pastors from all the different Asian Mennonite countries. So it's just a beautiful picture. Okay, next slide. I was talking to an MCBC donor the other day. Now, this picture is Ethiopia. So the school in Ethiopia brought in a Canadian teacher to teach some of their seminary courses so that they could have a higher level of education for their master's. No, the reason why is because their teachers were at, I think, AMBS to improve their teaching and get higher, I don't know, degrees, I guess. So they needed these people to come in. And so this donor said to us, or to me, he said, if the Asian countries can do this. Why can't we do this in MCBC too? Why can't we create some type of schooling where we can have maybe one class every semester and have the people from BC or Alberta or whoever come to it? So anyway, that's part of some of the things of why we do these things together. These donor cards, they symbolize that what we do together can be greater than what we do as separate 23 churches. So we're giving these donor cards to pastors, leaders, treasurers, and then also to our individual donors. We're giving them letters as well, and also to the churches that Shell and I preach at. And what the donor cards symbolize is that MCBC has been listening to you about our budget. So over the last, I don't know, 6 years, we've taken funds from selling churches. The latest is in Peartonville, and we just kind of slowly reduced them. And MCBC has been saying, don't reduce them, put them into a fund, and then just run a zero deficit budget. Don't run a deficit budget, just run a balanced budget. The implications mean that we reduce some of our expenses, we reduce revitalization. We invite all of our churches to tithe 5 to 7%, and then we invite individual donors to give. So if you know of any individual donors that want to give, please get them to contact me. And if you're looking for a workshop for tithing or stewardship, please ask me as well. And lastly, this is the last plug for MCBC, and then I'll start the message. And that is, if some of you are interested in international witness or seeing some of these things, you're like, hey, I want more information, or I want to be part of this, or I want to form a missions committee in this church. Talk to me. There's other people in MCBC that are doing that, and I think that we can do this together a lot better. So, Doug Clawson is the MCBC or MC Canada executive minister. He's coming here on December 2nd. And there was this one person that said, oh, good, Doug's coming. Can I have a visit? I said, no, you can't, because he's visiting donors. He's like, I'm not a donor. No, you're not. And I said, well, then I'll become a donor. And I said, well, then we'll let it happen. Another MCBC donor decided to switch. He was giving money to some organization. He felt that they were no longer following the words of Jesus in the way that he was reading scripture. And so he said, Kevin, I want to start giving to MCBC. And I said, okay, we'll let that happen too. So, what happens, now returning to our verses, what happens when we give God our best? Jesus' final words to his disciples. What are your final words you say to someone when you say goodbye to them for the last time? Go, make disciples, baptize, and teach. Then Jesus ascended, and then the Holy Spirit came down, and the church was formed. And then things went amazing, but then in our verses, a new kind of era begins, because God tests the church. This congregation we read was blessed with five amazing leaders, five of them. And of these five amazing leaders, God says, I just want to give you two of them. I just want you to give me two of them. And I want you to give me Barnabas, the encourager, and Saul, this radically converted Pharisees. And this was really a testament to the New Testament or the early church, their faith. Because in our own life or at Point Grey, what if God were to say, guess what, Point Grey? I'm asking you now to give me your two best leaders and put them on mission. Take your two key leaders, Antioch Church, God said, lay hands on them, consecrate them, send them off into mission. What a blow. Imagine the Antioch church, all of their dreams, all of their hopes. They're going to be that amazing church. And now their two best leaders are going to be shipped off. What is God thinking, right? What is God thinking when he asks us to give him our best? The church was really surprising how they responded because they said, yes, I think this is a good thing, right? I think this sacrifice, I think this offering, we're going to lean into. We're going to sing this new song. We're going to invite God to minister to us in new ways. It's not going to be as easy as we thought. It's not going to be the same dream that we thought we would have. But why does God ask for our best? You think of Abraham, the Old Testament. Abraham, what's your most precious possession you have? Well, I like my goats and camels and all those tents that I have. And God's like, well, okay, no, what's your most precious? And Abraham said, well, okay, I guess it's my son. And then God says, what? Well, okay, well, then let's make. Are you willing to give up your most precious possession, Abraham? Will you surrender your best to me? So Abraham and the Antioch church surrender their best to God. But in the end, that turns out to be a big blessing. God blesses the world because they were willing to give their best to God. In your own life, what does that look like to give your best to God, to offer up your best? And is there something in your life where you're thinking maybe God is inviting you to surrender your best to God? Acts 13:2 says, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. I think the church, probably, if I was in the church anyway, I'm hoping that it wouldn't be Barnabas and Saul. I was hoping it would be one of the other three, probably. And so it is with their own life, right? It's costly to be obedient to God's call. Now, this is interesting because we talked about the history of the church. Well, this Acts 13 set of verses is the first time that the church sends out a missionary, right? This is the beginning of the era of the church sending out people to minister somewhere else. I don't know what they would have called them that day, the sent out ones, the people, the best. Maybe they just called them the bests. No offense to the other three, by the way. Never happened before. But if they hadn't given their best, then we wouldn't be here, right? That's how the church expands. We'd be still without Christ. And the church had to give up certain things. I think for myself and for church, well, I always want comfort. I always want what's easiest. And I always want my preferences at church and in my life. But the Antioch church weren't thinking of preferences. They were thinking of how can we go? How can we make disciples? How can we baptize and how can we teach? How can we be on mission with God? And we're willing to give up our preferences and our comfort for that. There is one stat. It's an interesting stat that churches that give up their preferences and reach out and find ways to make all of their everything they do and even their finances. Outreach or missions or going out or serving, they're the churches that will grow spiritually and often numerically as well. And the churches that are concerned about preferences and trying more in reach. Those are the churches that plateau and they decline. And it's a biblical principle, and it's also just a statistical principle. But I just find it interesting that it's kind of the opposite of what you'd think would happen when we don't hold back and when we give God our best. And I'm thinking about Point Grey, and I think that's what you have been doing for MCBC and also Sherbrooke for all these years. Like you've been, I know Sherbrooke, we have this food bank that we share with four or five churches, and so many of you help in really key areas of ministry. And we wouldn't be able to do the food bank if it wasn't for you giving your best to the food bank. And we don't see the food bank as Sherbrooke's or the Spanish churches or Vietnamese. We see it as kind of an MCBC Vancouver. So I just want to thank you for making that happen. And you can thank yourself too, because it's your ministry. And also, yeah, Jung and Stephanie actually volunteered for the first time since COVID. See, not only do you start watching COVID, K-dramas at COVID. So we want to thank you for giving your best. Malachi 3:10 says, "Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing." So an invitation: will you give God your best, your entire life, your thoughts, your relationships? And he will bless you like he blessed the Antioch church. We invite you to take that step in faith and trust God. So let's pray the prayer the Antioch church prayed that day they sent out Saul and Barnabas. Heavenly Father, we offer up our best to you, our best talent, best ways we serve, because you gave us our best, your Son, Jesus Christ. You held nothing back as an offering for us, so we dedicate our lives to follow you. Amen.